Okay. Oh. Now, I don't know if you ever have been anywhere, no matter what age you are, and you're hoping somebody isn't there. And you see, when you get yourself settled, or either you're just walking in, and you can see them. And I don't know how you describe it, but your heart drops. There's just a kind of a bad feeling inside. I came here a wee bit early because I needed to see the fellas getting some of the visual stuff. And I was hoping that Peter Greenfield wouldn't be here. And lo and behold, not only was he here, but he was on the door with a big badge saying Peter, like as if he didn't know his name. But anyway, and I'll tell you why. It's because he is the Glebe Warden. So I do feel under a wee bit of pressure here. But, Diane, I'm asking you, not for two volunteers, I'm asking you to choose two people for me.
Two people.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I choose Andrew Calvert, and I choose Max Little.
So Andrew and Max?
One from the top, one from the bottom.
Okay, Ben, come on up. I didn't want to choose you because you could probably beat me up, so you're kind of... But if you come on up here, he's coming down. Actually, and I'm also meant to be, like, it's not easy being a male because I'm trying to talk and flick at the same time. I think that's the multitasking to talk about. There we go. Right, boys, I'll get you to stay on the flat, and if you just roughly go here. Oh, these are a great height, actually. So, I actually need two people who are decent at catching. So, this actually was a good idea when I was trying this out in the house with a dog, but with all these kind of people. Funny, Gareth, you see, Gareth, you know what I mean? I love our rector, Gareth, but he is nosy, because when I was walking in here, I could see him trying to get his nose into my bag. He did see the free-range Mourn Country eggs, and he didn't even say anything. Right. The good news is I used to be good at juggling. The bad news is it's 25 years from I've really juggled. This actually is going to tie into the talk. You see the first couple of rows on both sides? When this all starts, my brain and my hands are working at different levels, and it could go wrong. I'm going to get these up in the air and try and keep them there. And then I'm going to try and get the white one. I'm going to try and get a brown egg to you and a brown egg to you. If it goes wrong, it's Peter Greenfield. He's the Glebe Warden. It's his problem. So, right, we're just going for it. Right, let's go. Now we're getting close, right, the white. Oh, no! Right, well played. Thank you. Woo. Right. Now. Right, thank you. I honestly thought that was going over there. So. Oh. Pressure's off. Right. What we'll do now, we'll pray. Because just gives me a second to catch my breath. But I really, really believe God's going to speak to us today. Nothing to do with me being here, because God's totally committed to us and wants to speak to us. But there's a lot in this story. So, and I hope for all ages and every one of us. So let's pray. Dear God, we do think a lot of response earlier on in the confession. And we really pray we listen today. And we really pray that we will grow. And we will mature and be real focused followers of you. Amen. Right, let's go. The big idea, the one point, I'm trying my best to just do sermons that have one point. So the big idea today is focus. When I read that Joseph story, I've read that story several times, but sometimes when you read something, you haven't been at it a while, it just hits you. And the word came through to me, focus. And our, as has been said, our Old Testament character is Joseph. And the account of Joseph in the Bible is found. There's 20 chapters kind of given over to this whole Joseph story. So I did feel sorry for the readers. Thank you very much, because I had 20 chapters. I'm trying to work out how do I get a reading. So I just wanted a wee introduction. So let's jump in. The story of the Bible isn't primarily about the desire of people to be with God. It's a desire of God to be with people. That is very, very powerful. I don't know about you, but I run about thinking I kind of am in control and I initiate things, and it's so wrong. It's God who has set the whole thing off. It's God who is totally committed to us. And for such a long time, I've been on this Christian journey, and I still have moments where I'm overwhelmed with God's love for us. And because we are as we are, and we're just human, and you do like to point the finger and get a wee dig at people sometimes, but it's wrong. And the story of the Bible isn't primarily about the desire of people to be with God. It's the desire of God to be with people. Please leave here today, and that's me included, knowing that God's committed to us and that God loves us. You know, that's a very, very powerful message. Oh, dead on. Right, so here's how the juggling come into that. I've just read the Joseph story. We've heard a bit of it today. It's up, it's down, it's up, it's down. So I wanted just to look briefly at a couple of the ups and a couple of the downs and tie it into us. So the very first, what seemed to be an up for me, was Joseph seemed to be top man or top boy in his family. And he was his dad's favourite. And yet that up of being the favourite, that up of getting the flashy coat and all the rest of the things created a down, because his brothers took this bad kind of feeling against him. So that's actually a very powerful. The word hate comes through quite a lot when we're reading it out there. I could just keep very, just very intense, that Bible passage. And he was nearly, they nearly killed him, but they didn't. And he was thrown into the pit. And then he was sold into slavery, and these traveling nomads picked him up. This, we just read at the very start of that Bible passage, this is a young fella who God gives this amazing dream to, and before you know it, he's in a pit. And, you know what I mean, he's not like at the front of church singing and having a great time. And things don't get much better because he's sold into slavery. You can only imagine what it was like being a slave or traveling with the nomads and then being sold. So that's where the way up comes, because he's a slave, and he ends up getting into this house, Potiphar's house, and it just looks as if things are turning, that maybe the up, it could stay up, but lo and behold, doesn't Potiphar's wife take a notion for him? And don't you get this young fella? And like, let's face it, Potiphar was a man of great influence. I would imagine the wife's a looker. So the bottom line is, you have a young man who's under pressure, who takes God's call, who goes God's way. Wouldn't you love to think when you do that, you would rise again, but it's a down. So for taking God's call and for doing the right thing, he ends up in prison. So here we go again, up, down, up, down. Then he's in prison, and there's a couple of fellows who end up in prison, and one of them is a baker, and the other one is a cupbearer. So the cupbearer's job, I've watched this in all the films, and what a job to have. You end up tasting all the drinks for Pharaoh, because if it's poisoned, you die. You know, you can't make it up. So he ends up in prison, and I just want to read out this wee passage about the cupbearer, because it just shows you a wee bit of the intensity of the situation. So the cupbearer told Joseph his dream. He said to him, "In my dream I saw a vine in front of me, and on the vine there were three branches. As soon as it budded, he said, well, I didn't do the big reading. As soon as it budded, it blossomed, and its clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes, squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup, and put the cup in his hand." This is what it means, Joseph said to him. I'm just thinking, here's this young fella, 17, then years later, still in prison, and God's favour is still on him. And here he is, giving God's, you know what I mean, take on these dreams. This is what it means, Joseph said to him. The three branches are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your position. And you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand, just as it used to be when you were the cupbearer. But when all, so the last verse here, so it gives this cupbearer what the dream means. And when you hear the plea, you can feel this from a young fellow who's been wronged against. But when all goes well with you, remember me and show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison. I was forcibly carried off from the land of the Hebrews, and even here I have done nothing to deserve being put in a dungeon. And what do you think happens? Cupbearer gets out and he says nothing. He forgets about Joseph. Another 2 years in prison. You see, sometimes we come through that door, and I imagine there's days you come in here and your life's at a critical point, and you are in no mood for clapping and waving your hands about. And somewhere along the line, I'm not against that, but I'm just saying life isn't all about clapping and being happy. There's some low, low moments. I just think that Joseph story gives you real hope. In those the ups are great, but in the downs, you're aware that Joseph still has a relationship with his God. So, an up comes. Finally, 2 years later, the cupbearer finally remembers Joseph, mentions it, and it ends up, Joseph becomes basically the Prime Minister of Egypt, second in command. It's a 13-year story that we just heard read to us, from that 17-year-old to a 30-year-old who's second in command. Like, we live in the age of Google. Like, if I can't get an answer, like, in 20 seconds, I'm disappointed. And there's a 13-year story. Waiting is not just something we'll have to do until we get what we want, because that's what our culture says. Waiting is part of the process of becoming what God wants us to be. Waiting is part of the process of becoming what God wants us to be. That is about maturity, that's about discipleship, and that's about a life. I was randomly looking at some stuff linked to this story, and I came across this thing about tourists or pilgrims. And I ask you and I ask myself, did we arrive here today as a tourist or a pilgrim? Now, some of you have already your holiday booked. I have the holiday booked. And I'm starting to buy shorts and stuff. I believe there's going to be sun. But anyway, when you go on a holiday, when you're a tourist, let's face it, you see, if you're on a diet, it goes out the window. You're on holiday. And there's kind of no routine on holiday. You're all over the place, but that's all about holiday. And if you're a pilgrim, you would have been, it's the opposite. And I challenge you and myself for us to leave today knowing that we're pilgrims, that we're called to follow. Our attention spans have been conditioned by 30-second adverts, and our sense of reality has been deeply impacted. Stay focused. And if you're sitting here today and God's stirring up within you and reminding you that you're not focused, today isn't about beating you up. It's about leaving here saying, I'm going to refocus. And I just love that the 30-second advert, that's how our kind of culture works. And we've just seen a 13-year story in Joseph's life. So we are called to be pilgrims, not tourists. So what we've heard today about Joseph, he was a shepherd. He ended up being a household slave. He then became a convict, he became a prison administrator, and then he became second in command over Egypt. A little thing is a little thing, but faithfulness in little things is a great thing. And that just sums up Joseph for me. In the midst of all the despair, in the ups and the downs, he understood about little things. A little thing is a little thing, but faithfulness in little things is a great thing. There's a lot there for all of us to take home. Okay, there are 3 stages in the work of God, and we've seen this in Joseph's life. Impossible, difficult, done. How many times in your life have you been sitting with the impossible, but you never got any further? Or maybe from the impossible, you got to difficult, and that's as far as you got. Few of us have that Joseph focus, where we move from impossible to difficult to done. It's lovely saying it. It's a challenge to live it. Okay, a change of pace plus a change of place equals a change of perspective. And that is a reality that we've seen throughout Joseph's life. And I wonder, does that resonate with you? A change of pace plus a change of place equals a change of perspective. Joseph's story reveals that even though we cannot control circumstances, we can control how we respond. This here is very, very challenging. God is present in the palaces and in prisons. It's interesting because you can kind of begin to segregate your life, and this is the God stuff, you know, when you're church on a Sunday. And yet God is present everywhere. And in the times in your life when it doesn't make sense, I love the story of the old African, a man who comes to faith. And he's, you know what I mean, he's prayed the prayer, he's done all what he's meant to do. But in chatting over, he says to the fella who's brought him to faith, you know, what about the days when I doubt? What about the days when it doesn't seem right? And the man says, go home tonight and plant a tree in your front garden. And every single day you go home, you look at that tree and you will know that you've made that commitment, that visual thing. Some of us are more visual than others, but the ups and downs is part of the package. May we be brave enough to make the changes necessary to focus on the path of Christian discipleship. So finally, this is where concluding. I was trying to think to myself, what does it mean for you and for me? What is a focused person? Firstly, to be focused means you have to be a follower. To be a follower means you have to be submissive. And to be a follower of Christ means that you have to deny self and you have to die. Oh boy, that just does not fit in the culture we are part of. And yet that is as contemporary and as spot on as it ever was. So we're called to be followers. We're also to value people over programs. You know, there's nothing wrong with programs, but we're called to value people first. We're called to be imitators. It's about imitation over information. We have to be very careful in church because there's a lot of information. You can do this course, you can do that course, and that's great, but we're called to be imitators of Christ. So there's more to it than information. And we're sent people rather than seated people. And you know, a lot of it is you're all sitting there and you're kind of looking this way. But when we leave Lame Doors today, we are sent people. We are not seated people. We're about to conclude with a video. And it only lasts a couple of minutes, but it is so well put together for the fellows who put it together. And I just want to just introduce it by saying this. The Bible is not a series of disconnected stories. It is a single narrative in which every story, every character points beyond itself to one who is greater.
The Bible is not a series of disconnected stories. It is a single narrative in which every story, every character points beyond itself to one who is greater. The story of Adam and Eve is not just about the first man and woman. There is a true and better Adam who passed the test in the garden and whose obedience is ascribed to us. There is a true and better Abel who, though innocently slain, has blood that cries out not for our condemnation, but for our acquittal. There is a true and better Abraham who answered the call of God to leave all the comfortable and familiar and go out into the void to create a new people of God. There is a true and better Isaac, the son of laughter, of grace, who was not just offered up by his father on the mount, but was truly sacrificed for us all. There is a true and better Jacob, who wrestled and took the blow of justice we deserve, so we, like Jacob, only receive the wounds of grace that wake us up and discipline us. There is a true and better Joseph, who at the right hand of the king forgives those who betrayed and sold him and uses his new power to save them. There is a true and better Moses who stands in the gap between the people and the Lord and who mediates a new covenant. There is a true and better rock of Moses, who struck with the rod of God's justice, now gives us water in the desert. There is a true and better Job, the truly innocent sufferer, who then intercedes for and saves his foolish friends. There is a true and better David, whose victory becomes his people's victory, though they never lifted a stone to accomplish it themselves. There is a true and better Esther, who didn't just risk losing an earthly palace, but lost the ultimate heavenly one. Who didn't just risk his life, but gave his life to save his people. There is a true and better Jonah, who was cast out into the storm so that we could be brought in. There is a true and better Passover lamb, innocent, perfect, helpless, slain so the angel of death will pass over us. He's the true temple, the true prophet, the true priest, the true king, the true sacrifice, the true lamb, the true light, and the true bread. The Bible is not a series of disconnected stories. It is a single narrative that points to one person, Jesus.
Let's pray. Dear God, it's good to be reminded that we're part of this story, and we thank you for that. And I really pray a lot that we can refocus as we reflect on the life of Joseph. And as we leave here today, not as tourists but as pilgrims, may we serve one another, and in serving one another, glorify you. Amen.